just want to say thank you all for being here, and I'm going to share just a few thoughts. It's not going to be very long, at least I hope not. And they're from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So I'm just going to read a few verses here, and we're just going to go over each of them from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so if you've come to our Wednesday night group, you know that we've been going through, we just got through the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12 anyway. Miss Tanya is teaching about shine, and a couple of weeks ago she taught about sharing the gospel. And then this past Wednesday night, we talked about one of the things that Jesus said on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And how he was preaching a message while on the cross, and he quoted scripture from Psalm 22. And so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the gospel. And so what that means, what it looks like, what Jesus did for us. And I know that a lot of you are saved. You've been saved this year, or you've been going to church your whole life. And I appreciate that, and I truly do. And so I pray that this message is more of get your fire kind of rekindled. It's inspirational to you. If you're not a Christian, if this is kind of new to you, or if you've heard it all but you just haven't committed your life to Jesus Christ, I pray that this is a convicting message, which means I pray that the Holy Spirit moves in this way and that you do become a follower of Jesus Christ, that you get saved. And so that's the whole point of tonight. I'm just going to let you know right off the bat. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died." So when it says that the love of Christ controls us, it means it drives us. So it's the driving force behind what we do. It's the reason why we get up out of bed. It's the reason that we get up and we share and we talk and that we love people, is because of the love of Christ. It drives everything that we do. And it says that we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. Which essentially just means that when it says the one, it's talking about Jesus. It's saying that Jesus had to die for us, because we were all spiritually dead. So in the book of Romans 3:10, it says that there are none righteous, no, not one. That essentially just means that there's nobody that has a right relationship with God. That you're born separated from Him. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a second. But basically just means that you don't have peace with God. You don't have right standing with God. And because of that, because we're dead, spiritually dead, Jesus had to come and he had to die. And I'll again go a little bit more on that in just a second. Verse 15, "And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him for their sake died and was raised." So basically, prior to salvation, and like I said, some of y'all are recently saved, some of y'all got saved a while back, but before salvation, we are all just really just born super duper selfish. Like, it's all about me. I don't care about you. And if I do pretend like I care about you, it's just so I can get something out of it, is essentially how that works. We're super duper selfish. We live for ourselves. We only care about ourselves. And our culture is geared toward that message. In everything that you see, it's geared toward you being more into you, okay? Your phones, you all have one. Why? Because you can all have social media, and you can all post selfies and want a bunch of followers and get a bunch of likes, and the more likes and followers you get, the more fulfilled you feel about your life. It's all about me. Get me followers. Get me likes. That's our culture. That's what we want. But after you accept Christ's death as a payment for your sins, now your life is for Christ. That's what it says right here. That those who live might no longer live for themselves, but they live for Him, the one who died and rose again for them. That we live for Christ, for His glory. That He is our Lord. See, we don't understand the concept of lordship really well in America. We just don't. And that's not anything against you. It's just we don't. But lordship means this: God, here is everything. Here is everything. Here is all that I am, all that I ever hope to be. Here are my plans. Here's whatever you want me to do, God. You're my Lord. Here it is. I surrender to you. We now live for him. He is our Lord. And that we are no longer dead in sins. Remember I talked about being spiritually dead? And as a dead person, you don't really have a lot of control over what you're doing, right? If you think of it, it's like a marionette or like a puppet, and you're just being controlled by your desires. Every little thing that's inside of you that wants to do bad, you just follow it because you are a slave to the sin. You're dead in sin. That you're being controlled by those things. But now in Christ, we are now dead to sin and alive in Christ. Romans 6 talks about that. That once you accept Christ, that you are now dead to sin and alive in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, "For I am crucified with Christ." Meaning this selfish, prideful jerk of a human being that I am, that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not me who's living. It's Christ who lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's our life now. We want to live for Jesus. And there is so much freedom in that, students. There is so much freedom in living for God and not living for your sins. There is so much freedom once you realize it's just not all about me. Instead, it's all about him. And then the entire world doesn't have to be perfect for you to be happy. Right? Does that make sense? Not everything has to fall your way for you to have joy. Because why? It's not about me. It's all about him. And there's freedom in that. Living for God and not living for sin. Verse 16, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer." In other words, another way to say that is we don't think of others as the world thinks of other people. We don't have merely a human perspective on things anymore. And they go on and say that we used to think of Jesus just like everybody else. Because every other religion is going to teach that Jesus was a really good teacher, right? Jesus was a really good dude. He was a really good life coach. He really cared about social issues. And that's the Jesus they promote instead of the Jesus of the Bible, who is the Son of God. And that's what they're saying here. We don't just see him as another guy anymore. We see him as the Son of God, as our Savior, as our Lord, as the one who died and rose again for our sins. He is so much more than just a guy. And then in reference, when they're talking about how they see other people, remember I talked about we're real selfish? We no longer see people anymore for what they can do for us. What's in it for me, right? What do I get out of this relationship? Instead, now, we look at other people as, how can I serve you? How can I show the love of Christ to you? How can I share the gospel with you? That's how we see things now. We don't look at it the way the world looks. We don't look for the things that try to separate us. Instead, we're trying to see, how can we share Christ with those around us? Why? Because now the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and we see things through the lenses of Scripture through the Holy Spirit. That we see people for what they are and that are we see people for what they are, which is an image bearer of God. So I can't have hate in my heart for someone who's an image bearer of God. If I'm a follower of God, does that make sense? How can I hate anybody for whatever makes them a little bit different than me if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? Right? There's no room for hate for that. There's no room for selfishness. And we want to share the gospel as much as we can, because quite frankly, there are two types of people in this world. There's lost and they're saved. That's it. When you look at it from the lenses of the gospel, there's two types of people. There's lost and they're saved. The lost are dead in their sins. We talked about that. They are dead in their sins, and they are going to be eternally separated from God. That's not me saying that. That's the scripture. The Bible says it. And then there's those who are saved. And those that are saved are dead to sin, alive in Christ. And they're eternally joined to the family of God as a child of God. So that's how you view people, lost and saved. How can I share the gospel? Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that word in Christ means belongs to Christ. You might say, well, how does someone become in Christ? How do they belong to Christ? Well, it's simple yet not simple, I guess, is the right way to put it. So it starts way back in the beginning. You have to believe certain things in order to say that you're in Christ. Number one, God created everything. Number one, there is a God, okay? You got to believe in God. There is a God, and he created everything. We didn't evolve from another species. This world, there wasn't just this big explosion and this cosmic accident, and we just happened to fall in the exact perfect place like a creator would have done by mistake. That didn't happen. We were created by an intelligent designer named God. And he created all things. He created man and he created woman. And everything was great. And then man and woman sinned, which means they went against God. And once that happened, that sin nature became in all of us. And right then and there, God instituted the fact that blood had to be shed in order to cover sins. Because some of you have grown up in church, you know the story of Adam and Eve, right? Once they did something bad, they try to cover themselves up with leaves because all of a sudden they realized they were naked, and God killed an animal to give them a covering. That was a picture of what was to come. And then in the Old Testament, they came up with these different sacrifices, blood sacrifices, and that blood would cover their sin for a year. And they would do it year after year after year until one day God sent his son named Jesus. And Jesus came and was born of a virgin as a baby in a stable. We all celebrate Christmas, I think. And so he was born in a stable, and then he grew up. He became a man. He lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross, and he rose from the grave. And that's why we celebrate Easter in just a few short days. And so he died for our sins. He rose for our salvation, and he's alive today. And if you believe that, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for your sins, and that somehow that counted for you, then you're in Christ. You're in Christ. You belong to Jesus. It says that the old is gone now. What's the old? That old prideful self is gone. And the new selfless person is there. That old lustful self is gone. That new loving person. The old self-focused is gone. And now the new others-focused is here. The old hate and anger is gone. And now the new love and hope is here. The old living with no hope and no purpose is gone. And the new everlasting life and a purpose for living is here. The old future in hell is gone. The new future in heaven is here. And the old serving of sin and the devil is gone. And the new serving of the King, the Creator of all things, the one who died and rose again for our salvation, has come. Verses 18 and 19. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. That's the gospel. In case you didn't catch it, that's the gospel. The story of the gospel, it's all from God. God went first, he came first, and he chose you. He loved first. It was God's plan from the beginning, his redemptive plan from the beginning. In Genesis 3, he said Jesus was going to come and crush the head of the devil, and he did. It says that Jesus Christ, that God's plan was to make peace with us to himself through Jesus Christ, and only through Jesus Christ. He is the only way to have peace with God. And it's through Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness of all of our sins. Now, students, that's a big deal, okay? That means that you're forgiven of all the sins you ever committed and all the sins that you will commit. That's a huge deal, especially when you're as old as I am and you've done a whole lot of sinning and you've experienced a whole lot of grace, and then you realize that God loves me in spite of that. That's amazing. Some of y'all have done some stuff and you're like, I don't know if he can forgive me. He can forgive you of any and everything. Why? Because he loves you. He loves you. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated, or he proved, or he acted out, or he showed his love in that while we were still sinners, what? Christ died for us. Has anyone died for you? Jesus loves you to death. He's forgiven us of all of our sins. And then he goes on and he says, and now he has entrusted us with that message of peace. He's given us that ministry. He chose us to share the gospel of peace with the world. He could have used anything else. He could have instructed the angels to do it, right? He could have done anything and everything. But instead, he said, you know what? I'm going to use them. That once we experience and receive Jesus Christ, once we have gone through the blood and have been washed from all sin, now we have what's inside of us to share with the world. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm excited about something, I like to tell people about it. Anybody else like that? You get something like a new phone, right? Or something new in your life and you just can't wait to show somebody. You have God. You have Jesus. And you have been gifted with the ability to share that with everybody. Right? Let me ask you a question. There's someone you love, and they are driving, maybe they're walking. We won't say driving. They're walking toward a cliff, and their head's in their phone. And they don't realize it. They're going toward the cliff. And once they fall off the cliff, they're dead. There's no hope, right? Would you be like, well, you know, I don't want to be too severe and make them feel like I'm singling them out. So I'm just going to let them, you know, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. They'll figure it. It's all right. Or you know what? They must feel led to walk off the cliff, right? They feel led to do that. Someone you love is about to die. What do? Hey, there's a cliff. Look out. And yet we all know people who are going to die and go to hell, and yet we keep it to ourselves. Why? Because we're afraid we're going to hurt their feelings? I'd rather hurt their feelings than have their blood on my hands. I'd rather be, hey, look out for that cliff. And if they want to walk off, that's on them at that point. point, but at least I did what I could do to save them, right? Do y'all get what I'm trying to say here? We've been given this amazing gift of the gospel to share with the world, and yet we sit on a chair and never tell a soul. Why? We have been given this gift to share the gospel. What an honor. What an honor that God has said, you know what? I trust you. I trust you. I trust you to tell your cousin or your uncle about me. Hey, I trust you to go tell that stranger you're going to go and that's going to serve you dinner at the restaurant to tell about Jesus. I trust you to do that. What an honor the creator of the universe would do that. Almost done. Verse 20. Therefore, this is good, y'all. You're going to listen to this. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. That's not the whole verse, but come on, that's good stuff, right? That's good stuff. We're ambassadors. What does that mean? Do you know what an ambassador is? Anyone? A representative. You are a representative of God. You're a spokesperson. And that word in the Greek, if you look at the figuratively, it means a preacher. You're a preacher of Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ. God making his appeal through us. God, you are speaking on behalf of the creator of the world. You are speaking on behalf of the one who just spoke light into existence. You are the representative and spokesperson of the one who said, you know what? I'm going to put Orion's belt right there. You are the spokesperson of the one who loves you so much. It says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. On behalf of Christ, I stand before you. I stand before you as a representative of Jesus Christ, as a spokesman for Jesus, and I beg you. That's what implore means. I beg you. I beg you. Get right with God. I beg you. Before it's too late. I beg you. I plead with you. Get right with God. And the only way to get right with God is through Jesus. Believing that when he died on that cross, that somehow that counted for you. And I beg you, on behalf of Jesus Christ, receive that free gift of salvation. Finally, verse 21. For our sake, for your sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin. Which means Jesus never sinned. He was perfect. He never had a sinful thought. He never experienced the guilt of sin. He never once said, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. He never once knew the pain that sin brings inside of you. He did not know sin, but God made him sin for us. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That through Jesus we may be made right with the Father. So on behalf of Jesus Christ, get right with God. Get right with God. By accepting what Jesus Christ did for you on that cross. Because he took your sin. He took your sin. He took your sin. He took your sin. He took my sin. He took the sin of the world. And God poured out his judgment. Because sin has to be judged, right? Don't evil things have to... God would not be just if he didn't punish wrongdoing, right? See, some churches don't teach that. Some teach, well, sin's in the eye of the beholder, and God really doesn't care about that kind of stuff. Well, let me ask you a question. If someone you loved was murdered, I mean brutally murdered, by somebody else, and the person came before the judge, and the judge said, well, they had a rough background, so I'm going to let them go. Would you be cool with that? Where's the justice, judge? You are an unjust judge. And God would be unjust if he didn't punish sin. So you know what he did? He said, I'm going to take care of that justice thing and that mercy thing all at one time, and I'm going to give you Jesus. And Jesus is going to take your place. All you got to do is accept it and believe it. And he's the only way. You can't do enough good to outweigh your bad. You can't align your chakras. You can't pray 6 times a day. You can't pray to enough saints. You can't die and then get prayed out of hell. None of those things. You know what? It's through Jesus and Jesus alone. So I beg you. I beg you. On behalf of Jesus Christ. Get right with God. Get right with God. And if you are, hallelujah. If you are, then hallelujah. You are saved. You don't have to worry about the wrath. Hallelujah. What are you doing with it? Are you telling other people? Are you sharing the good news of the gospel? Are you loving people? Are you serving people? Are you thinking about other people more than you're thinking about yourself? Are you spending time in God's Word, getting to know Him? So there's two things we've got to do tonight. If you're lost, you need to get saved. It's as simple as that. If you're lost, you need to get saved. And you're lost means that you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never come to a place in your life where you've said, you know what? I admit I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus, you are the Son of God, that you came to this earth, that you died on the cross, and that you rose again. And you did that to forgive me of my sins. And now, Jesus, I want to give you my life. I surrender to your will. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Because it's a package deal. Be my Lord, be my Savior. And then some of you are saved. And praise God, I'm so thankful. When Miss Tanya told me about all the kids I've gotten saved this year, I was just so overjoyed and excited to hear that. So let me ask you, now what? Now what? How are we doing? And I'm not talking about your behavior. I'm not talking about moralistic stuff. I'm just saying, are you getting closer to Jesus? Are you learning more? Are you telling people about him? You don't have to have all the answers. You just got to tell them what happened to you. Your story, your testimony. Are you sharing that? Are you telling people about Jesus? So I'm going to ask, if you've been saved, are you willing to commit to sharing your faith? You're an ambassador of Christ now. You're a spokesman for God. You wear a name badge that says, hello, I am a child of the one true King. How's that working out? How you representing? That sounded really bad, didn't it? I know, I'm really white and I apologize. But you know what I mean. How are you representing the Lord? Are you telling people about Jesus? So let's get saved tonight and let's commit to sharing the gospel. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute, just ask everybody to be quiet for just a second. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And we're going to do an old-fashioned commitment. Because it's time that we quit playing church and we start acting. We start doing. So we're going to do an old-fashioned commitment. If you are sitting here tonight and you have never been saved, you have never come to that place where you accepted Christ and his forgiveness, Or maybe when you were younger, you maybe thought you did, but now you truly understand it. So you want to make sure, and you want to kind of just make sure that you know what you're doing now. I'm going to ask something that's going to be very bold. I'm going to ask you to get up from where you're sitting and go to the back, and Miss Tanya and Mr. Scott are going to take you down, and we're going to talk to you about what it means to get saved. I'm going to ask you right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, for the privacy of everyone else. This is a big commitment, and I'm asking you to do something that's going to, it's going to take some courage. If you want to accept Christ tonight, I'm going to ask you to get up from where you're sitting and go to the back, and we're going to take you downstairs. We won't do anything. We won't do any more games until everyone's done being talked to. So don't worry. You're not going to miss out on anything. So this is telling me something right now. This is telling me that either everyone in here is saved, or man, you're fighting it. You're fighting it. Because I promise, anytime the gospel's preached, the Holy Spirit's knocking on your heart. Hey, he's talking to you. Hey, he's talking to you. I want to be your Lord and Savior. I'm calling you. Answer that call. So if you are here and you are a Christian, you are saved, I'm going to ask you to commit to something. I'm going to ask you, if you commit before God, before me, before everyone here, I'm going to commit to share the gospel with those in my life. I'm going to share the gospel with a stranger. I'm going to share the gospel because I know it's the good news of salvation, and I want to see everybody come to know Jesus the way I do. If you commit to that, stand up. If this room does this, this is a game changer. This is a world changer. Think about this. Jesus had 11 of his 12 disciples, and they changed the world. There's a lot more than 11 kids here tonight. And if you each just told one person, and then one more, and then one more, we could change the world, and it starts right here. I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to wrap this up, this portion of the evening. Lord, we are so thankful that you loved us enough that you sent your only Son to die on the cross, to pay our sin debt. And we're so thankful that you didn't stay dead, but that you rose with the power of God, that you rose and that you're alive today, and that we serve a risen Savior. And I am so thankful that you called these students out and that they have listened to your call. I am so thankful that these students are standing here and they're saying that I am a born-again Christian and that I am going to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ and I am going to share my faith with everyone around me, regardless of the outcome, regardless of the consequences, regardless if I lose followers on Instagram, regardless if people delete my phone number, I don't care. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Lord, I pray you give these students the courage to live a life that is honoring to you, that they will dive into this word, that this will not just collect dust on their shelf, but that they'll dive into this and learn more and more about you and want to be more like you in everything that they do, Jesus. I pray that we will be a group of students and adults that will look for opportunities to love other people, to serve other people, and to share the gospel with everyone that we come in contact with. I pray that this is a commitment that will not waver. I pray that this is a commitment that they will stand strong in, that they will keep each other accountable in. Hey, I saw you stand up. Let's go talk to them about Jesus. I pray that we see these students do something that no other group at this church and this school has ever done. And that is lead a revival of young people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Stir up the Holy Spirit in these students, God. And I pray that tonight will be the catalyst that changes their lives, that changes this school, that changes our church, and that changes their families. We love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.